Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelor Wrap-Up for the finale. I am Amy, here as always, joined by the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm very thankful I'm standing here today, and you're not telling me that you decided to podcast with two different people, and the more important podcast partner was not me. You just see yourself podcasting with someone else for the rest of your life.
Definitely not. I was picturing who I could podcast with for the rest of my life, and I couldn't imagine it without you, so here we are.
Here we are.
Phew. Yeah, we made it to the finale. I can't believe it.
It was a lot easier making it to this finale than Caitlin's finale, though.
That's true. He kept the drama going.
I know we got a lot of hell for, like, going a little off, like, little too off topic some days, but, man, I felt like we did a pretty good job compared to the show that we, you know, were dealt with Caitlin's season.
It got so slow at the end, and this one kept our interest. So,
yeah, I thought it was a pretty solid season all the way through. I wouldn't say it is a full home run, but I'll say it's a standing double.
Okay. I think I can follow your logic on that. It's not like an inside the park, nothing too exciting, but it.
No.
You're happy with it.
It's a solid hit that, you know, hopefully
could score
people
some
will be
points.
Able to cash in. I don't know.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. My twins players were all having a big viewing party last night. I saw them on Twitter tweeting about that. And they were having tacos.
Okay.
They called it taco night or something.
Yeah. That's like the Haley Strong trifecta. It's baseball, The Bachelor, and tacos. Like, that's it.
I think
that's
trying to woo you.
Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
Well, it worked.
Nice.
Get me that Joe Maurer t-shirt.
Right. So, yeah, this one, we definitely got hyped some things that seemed dramatic, like the phone call thing. But the part about telling two women he loved them and not being clear up until the end, that proved to be true. The phone call was, you know, became nothing. It's what Bachelor is known for, hyping something up. So it did deliver on that sense. Do you think it was one of the most dramatic finales you've seen? Because I know you didn't see the Mesnick one, so. If we take that out of the equation.
Didn't. Was it dramatic? I don't know if it was dramatic as much as it was like kind of heartbreaking, because I truly did really like both Lauren and JoJo. And I was tweeting all along, like, Ben, just marry both of them. Or someone tweeted like they should just like JoJo and Lauren should just marry each other. And I was like, yeah, that is the most satisfying solution for me personally, because I just really like both of them and I didn't want to see either of them get the heartbroken. It was inevitable that one of them would.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it was dramatic, but I was just kind of more like,
bummed out by it
rather than like taken aback by the captivating drama.
Yeah, I feel like it took away from being excited for Lauren for sure. Whereas when we saw, it's hard to talk about Crystals now and Whitney, but at the time we were like, oh, what a great couple, you know, and just seeing how they had the connection from the beginning. And that's kind of what we saw with Ben and Lauren. But then it really seemed, especially in this finale, they were really trying to sell us on, wait, is it JoJo? Were you falling for it at any point?
Like a scooch, but,
yeah.
I've been pretty hard on the it's Lauren B train since her first date, pretty much.
Right. I know I saw Brian Cohen tweeting about, well, now they're going so over the top that it has to be Lauren B. Because they're just where did this come from with the JoJo thing? But, you know, she showed a lot more emotion with the parents. And it seemed like when Ben was meeting with Lauren one on one that he was going over the top to try to make her feel insecure about it. It just seemed like it was the producers trying to sell a story and sort of adjusting the editing and directing Ben perhaps on, okay, well, don't make Lauren feel too confident because we need to make this dramatic. But
yeah, we got hit over the head a lot with like, well, Lauren and I have never been through any tough times. JoJo and I have. We can have these conversations, blah, blah. And like you saw him get real honest with her about, you know, the whole being in love with another woman as well thing. And we didn't see that conversation with Lauren, whether or not they had it. I probably doubt it, actually.
I was wondering that too. And is that because he knew he's picking her and didn't want to cause her that stress or that potential problem? But at the same time, by talking through it with Jojo, that almost makes you think that he's reassuring her more. He's sitting there on the bathroom floor saying, hey, I'm here with you. What else can I do? And he said he wouldn't blindside her. So, like, how mad should we be at him for doing that?
I don't know, because, like, it's what's just to be expected at the end of the show. I get they're, you know, these are real people with real human life feelings. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it was hard. It still is hard for me to believe that it came down to looking at rings from Neil Lane, and then he would have this moment of, you know, an epiphany. Okay, now I know who I'm going to pick because I saw this ring. You know, it seemed a little bit forced, but it did seem like he should have tried to scale back rather than continuing with "I love you, I love you," and "Yes, I love this other person." And it didn't really seem fair to be kind of preparing Jojo for that and not Lauren, I guess, because he did blindside Jojo. So
yeah, he really did. I know it's hard to say what was right in this situation. Like, it's hard for us to understand what kind of love he did have for Jojo, whether it was like, you know, they kept saying like, oh, like best friends. Like, is it like a best friend love? And then like love he has for Lauren is just like, you know, true, like soulmate love or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely, from our perspective, it probably looked the most like even.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. Like, you know, he was so in love with both of them. It was like, well, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel like in most finales, you can kind of see where the wind is blowing.
Right. Well, and I think in what was surprising me about this one is throughout the season, I mean, even the other women were saying, oh, he and Lauren. So it didn't feel even throughout the season until this finale. So I think that made it harder. If they had done something more with the editing, it would have made it a little more dramatic, I think, to watch. But I also kind of was like, what? Maybe we were wrong. Maybe it is Jojo, because, you know, his family seemed kind of more on board after they met Jojo. So let's start out. I mean, we're kind of sharing our general thoughts now, but let's start out, go back to kind of the family visits is where we start out. And we see first it's Lauren who meets the family, and the mom seems like they immediately love her. So didn't have the reaction she had to Emily, the twin. So what did you think of the, anything stand out to you from the parents' visit with Lauren?
Not really. I mean, what stood out to me? How awkward it was that she was telling his dad, like, I am so in love with your son. Like, I can't imagine. Like, I've gone through, like, the stories of my own father on this podcast. My boyfriend's father is, like, my own father's, like, demeanor.
Uh-huh.
But, like, times 40,000. Like, he's, like, even more, like, your typical crotchety dad. So, like, the idea of me ever sitting down with him and having a conversation about anything other than, like baseball,
uh-huh,
or baseball players, and especially something involving like legitimate emotions, is just like no, never happening, hard pass. I think that would straight up give him a heart attack and me an aneurysm in the same blow.
That would be the most dramatic scene. Yeah
they,
and the parents come in, and it's always like that. They come in like, are you in love with my son? Like, they need to know all this information, and they know that Ben has already told them. So first we see Ben with his parents telling them that he's in love with both of them, and the mom, you know, being upset about that and says that's really disturbing, which it's like, yeah, that, you know, maybe they shouldn't have done that.
Ben's mom is the MVP of the season, right?
Yeah, she's fun to watch. We're gonna miss her. Although I'm excited about JoJo's brothers being on next season. We'll get to that. That big news. I just thought it was a little weird that, like, the mom, like, she barely saw Lauren, and she knows that her son is in love with two women. And, like, right away, she's like, oh, my gosh. Like, it just seemed, like, very shallow. Like, look, she's like a pretty blonde. Yeah,
I feel like it would be a lot more awkward in that situation. Like, say if I was Ben's sister and he had just told me he was in love with two girls, I'd be like staring at both of them like, oh my God, like, I'm so sorry. Like, my brother's such a dickbot.
Yeah, maybe we should temper this a little bit. So then JoJo's the next one. I think you had a funny tweet about the floral arrangement that she brought to them.
Yeah, what the shit was that? It was like a dirty conch shell filled with like some weird, boring flowers.
Yeah.
Like, at least Lauren brought wine. Yeah. She should be picked on that alone.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what the mom was reacting to. JoJo also, she talked about, she was just more emotional, I think, when she talked to the parents. And so this is where I thought maybe the parents kind of switched to the JoJo train after they met her. Like, they talked to Ben afterwards, and every season The Bachelor will, and Bachelorette, they'll talk to the parents, and they'll, the parent visit, they'll say, I really hope to get more clarity after talking to my parents, but I just didn't. And it's really rare for the parent visit to sort of influence in one way. I'm trying to think, way back in Andrew Firestone's season, I think there was one clear person that the parents didn't like and that he didn't pick that person.
Was there?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. That's my recollection from way back when, but they just felt really strongly about one. But it could be that he felt that same way and we just didn't really know. But yeah, usually it's just, oh, you can't go wrong either way. Both great women, you know. So but I did think that the dad was like, oh, she's ready. She says you're the best friend. She's really in this. So we didn't really get much clarity there. Anything else stand out to you from the JoJo visit or just more awkwardness?
No, but I had one point to make about Lauren's visit.
Oh, yeah.
Was that Lauren and Ben's mom were like holding hands. Like, how did that happen? How? Okay. Like, I know neither woman wanted to do that.
You don't think so? Like, you're told to do that?
It's like they probably were like shaking hands and like awkwardly hugging and then just like didn't know what to do afterwards because they don't, like, neither of them wanted to seem like an a-hole.
Right. Well, I'm glad you noticed it because it's like I saw it out of the corner of my eye, and then in the next shot their hands had separated because they were sitting on these two chairs. And then we also got someone tweeting us about it. So they definitely were holding hands at one point. One hand resting on the other as they're sitting next to each other talking. So yeah, that was a little odd too, but I can't imagine like grasping someone's parent's hand the minute I meet them and like, I'm in love with your son or something. I don't know. It's all a little too much.
Just too many emotions for me to like put myself through IRL.
Right. And I just, again, I can't get over the whole like that. They have to go through this whole rigmarole with two different women. You know, it's one thing for him to be dating the two, but then for them to meet the family. And so JoJo's getting all, you know, she gets so excited about it, thinking I'm meeting my, you know, future fiance's family. And so for one, it's just all like a ruse, you know, it becomes just odd because normally
it's also just like emotionally taxing too, right?
Yeah. You have to meet them and then these people are never in your life again. Same with her and Ben, really. I mean, they're part of the Bachelor alumni, but, you know, that's just the whole structure of the show. So if we're to dissect that, then it's a whole other podcast, I guess.
I one day want to make like a chart of like the Eskimo siblings in the Bachelor franchise. And if you don't, for those who aren't League Watchers, an Eskimo
although
sister,
Sean brought it up on Caitlin's season, right? Or was it?
Oh, no, really?
Nick, didn't he say like Eskimo brothers?
Oh, okay, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So it's so two women who've slept with the same guy. So Kayla, Lauren B, and JoJo are all Eskimo sisters, and Ben is Eskimo brothers with Sean Booth and Nick Vile, and then so. Also, Chris Soules, and then Caitlin is a Eskimo sister with her good friend Whitney, and you know, it's just like a weird chain of it all. Mm-hmm. But Caitlin is not Eskimo sisters with Andy because Chris Soules did not make it to the fantasy suite. He made it to the date, but Andy let him go right before.
Right. Yeah, it's a fantasy suite line that we can usually is the determining factor, although not necessarily. Sometimes it happens at other times. And
yeah,
although we don't really know what goes on behind, you know, it's all allegedly because, you know, there's some people that are like, Sean Lowe and Becca. So, and we saw Ben say that he kept his suit on the whole time. He told Jimmy Kimmel that at the, and so that's legit, right, Haley? That segment was very informative.
I believe that.
Yeah. Yes. So then
he wasn't even wearing a suit. He was probably wearing one of his stupid hoodies.
Right. Yeah, he had some changing looks in this last episode. His hair was curlier, longer. He had some patchy facial hair at some points. Was there any one particular
look? He had to bring a razor to Jamaica.
Yeah. I think at some point it arrived, but I'm not sure when. Then we have the individual dates. So, and do you think they broke it down like this? Like they met the parents, each one met the parents, and then he had the individual dates after? Because did they go somewhere else? Different island or something?
I think so. Yeah. I think it was all took place at Sandals.
Okay. Right. So the Ben and Lauren date, they went on a boat and then back to a hotel.
They did.
Yeah.
They went on a boat.
And this is where I just felt like I tweeted something like, I just got to read that. It screamed to me, the producers telling Ben, okay, Lauren's too confident, scale it back or put some doubts kind of thing, because he was just acting so weird. Like, you know, they were lovey-dovey, but then he just would stare off in the distance and say he has
he was pulling a Kayla.
Yeah, exactly. He got lessons from her. And then I even thought, like, did he try weed for the first time? Because I wrote down what he wrote. Like, he was just like, life, man. Like, it's weird. It's crazy. It's good. And it's life. What in the hell is happening? That's where my mind's at. Is that the kind of thing you want to hear when you think you're about to get proposed to the next day? Because that's what Lauren had to take in. Right? So we see Lauren in the confessional say that she can tell he has a heavy mind. And he really just says that his doubts are because it's been so perfect. So what do you think about that reaction that he had? Is that a valid reason to be skeptical?
Yeah, I think so. Because, like, I mean, you're kind of always, you know, in some relationships, you're always kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. Mm-hmm. And in the Bachelor scenario, where everything is just so perfect, like you have these helicopters, you have, you know, hot tubs in the middle of fields, you get to go on all these vacations, and sometimes Ice Cube shows up. It's hard to be like, how will this person and I be able to react IRL when it's just, you know, us watching Scandal on a Thursday night, or, you know, I don't wash the dishes and she hates that. Like, how will we react when that happens? So I totally get where he's coming from with that. Mm-hmm. And especially since him and JoJo have kind of had like a few little tiffs, and I think JoJo's just like an outwardly honest person. It's not that I don't think Lauren's like not honest. I just think that JoJo is much more like,
I think she was more insecure. You
know. Yeah. True. And like, can you think of one of JoJo and Ben's fights? One of them was that he was spending too much time with Lauren on a group date, right?
Right. So, yeah. So maybe she should have read the writing on the wall. Really. Like, oh, overcame the fact that I like this other girl more, and I'm going to pick her. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can understand being like nervous that it's so perfect, but I don't think there's a purpose to trying to start something so that, you know, you can be tested.
True. Yeah. I thought it was funny when he's like, well, he said, I don't know what life looks like when life gets hard. Every moment's been perfect. And then he goes, we haven't been tested. And it's like, well, you should always get tested before you're about to propose to somebody.
And you know what their big test as a relationship is?
What?
Lauren watching Ben say how in love with JoJo he is for like 2 hours right before they're introduced as a couple.
Right. I guess it sounded like they weren't watching it. Do you believe that? Like backstage?
It sounded like they were just watching the tape. They weren't watching like the studio stuff, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where they just said like, oh, we're not going to watch because
they were
that
like,
part.
Oh, that was tough to watch. Like, yeah, that was tough to watch. You know what I mean? So I don't know if that was legitimate or not, but.
Right. Right. True. Yeah, I've heard a quote. It's probably just one of those like Pinteresty things, but maybe if someone actually said it, but it was like, when you find the right person, then you understand why it didn't work out with everybody else or anybody else.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's kind of what Ben was just questioning. Like, why does this one feel really right? because that's not how it felt with other people, or I've had to, you know, work through these struggles. And not that people won't have issues and things, but maybe just their communication style, their compatibility, it doesn't feel like a test, or it doesn't feel as much like work. Whereas with JoJo, he really had to reassure her and things like that. But that also doesn't mean it's a bad thing either. So I think, let's see. Then when they're in the hotel, tell me what you think of when he takes, so Lauren, he and Lauren are sitting there and she's, you know, telling her feelings, and he just kind of says, you know, no matter what happens, Lauren, you made me a better person. You stood beside me at all times. And he just looks so serious. I mean, what did you think of, how is she supposed to react to that? I mean, it just seemed cruel.
I would be like, is this like your goodbye to me? Like,
it kind of feels like
that sounds very goodbye-y.
Yeah. Like those proposal fake outs, you know, because he didn't really give her so much of a fake out when she was coming down for the proposal. So it's almost like he gave it to her the night before. You know how they always act like that switcheroo kind of happens? Like the one who's getting rejected gets sort of like a positive thing at first. And then the one who's getting proposed to kind of gets a little bit of a twist at the beginning. Like, oh, it was nice meeting you, but no. it just felt a little bit like he was guided to do that to me, because that doesn't seem like a natural way that he'd act towards somebody that he is ready to propose to the next day. I'm sure he was, you know, exhausted and tired and nervous about, you know, it's not going to feel good to knowing that he has to break up with JoJo either, but Then we have the JoJo date, and we see a lot of her just being like, I have no doubts, I'm confident. And doesn't he tell her that he wouldn't blindside her at this point, at some point?
Because I don't remember. I kind of blocked it out. I just felt really bad for her that she had to have another waterfall date. Like, she literally just had one last week.
Yeah. It's just their thing.
And she pointed out, she's like, this reminds me of our last date. Like, she's probably like, come on, producers. Like, he got Lauren a catamaran, but you could only, like, shove me into the waterfall.
Yeah, they have to, like, keep doing activities. But I do think.
But is that more proof for your boat date theory?
Maybe. I was just thinking that if it's, because it's sort of the horseback riding is the third, when it's down to three and like Chris Soules is going on the horseback riding date. It's like, you're not going anywhere. Like the activity date and the relaxing, like, I just want to cuddle with you date is more likely to be the person. So that could be like, he likes having fun with her, and they had some last passionate kisses before he knew he wasn't going to have that hottie in his life anymore. So that could be. We'll have to, again, when we get the infographic of all the Eskimo siblings, we can also look at all these different boat dates. And we had a listener tweet us, they had looked at all the different professions. They wrote a blog about all the different professions on The Bachelor. And I think I have it retweeted somewhere on my timeline. And that was interesting. I think it was teacher and sales
and marketing person has won 5 times.
Yeah.
And the nurses and teachers were, you know, up there too.
Right. Right. So now flight attendant added to the list. Randy Bailey, he called it. And let's see. Not going to let us forget it.
Never.
No.
And so JoJo's night date, it was just more like conversing. It was a really like emotionally like distressing conversation for both of them and us, I think. I'm just kind of watching them go back and forth. Like, do you love her? Like, yeah, I do. Like, yes. And, you know, just him being perfectly honest with her and her being like, okay. Okay, like, all right.
Yeah, so she pulls him into the bathroom. She's saying, I need something from you. And I think maybe she's thinking this isn't going to make the show. But they had audio when they're in there. And just sort of saying, like, do you love me? Yes. But you love her too? Yes. And I don't know, I can't recall anything we've had like that before on this show.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I think this is the part where I was sort of leaning towards, well, why would he be doing that if he's not picking her? I think this is the closest I got.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought too. I was like, oh, like this is kind of the sign. And then Because what's the point of going through all of that if you know, like, the next day you're breaking up with her anyway?
I know.
Like, why not just right there be like, you know what, JoJo, I love you, but I love her too, and I love her more. Like, I'm sorry.
I guess just because the producers would like take his money away, you know, or something, like, because he couldn't say that or something.
But, like, there's been not a hundred, obviously, but there's been tons of, like, breakups before the last, you know, last day.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't happen as often with The Bachelor as it does The Bachelorette.
Right. It's usually The Bachelorette that goes and tells
there's
them.
Precedent. It's not like it's not right. been done before. Ben doesn't have rules.
It's true. They can all make up their own rules. And Ben was supposedly this perfect bachelor. He's on the Mount Rushmore, according to Chris Harrison. But maybe in Chris Harrison's mind, it's because of this drama.
I wonder if when the lead does something kind of out of turn, but like
unprecedented,
what's not the norm. Yeah. If the producers are like, okay, it's fine that you did this, but you have to, you know, have both girls come to you at the end.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, Ben said, I love you to both of them. Like, great, you said I love you to them, but you have to take both girls to the end, break up with one of them there. Or like Caitlin, who, you know, broke the rules and slept with Nick way before.
Yeah, they're like, now you don't get to travel here. Anywhere.
She should have. Mm-hmm. So they were like, okay, but you have to break up with Nick right at the pool.
Yeah, I know. I don't put anything past these producers. And in terms of with Ben saying, I love you to both of them, do you think it was something he, like, was it a heat of the moment thing? And did he regret saying it to one of them? Like, did he regret
saying it to Joseph? Well, clearly not, because he made a rain I love yous on both of them through this entire episode.
Right, yeah, he stuck with it. I guess they're like, you can't, no take backs now. You have to just go with this story. But let's see. Then after the JoJo thing, is this when
We
get to Neil Lane. This is what I want to break down because this just seems so over the top to me. Like, of all the times that he's going to decide, it's when he's staring at the rings from Neil Lane. And there's this awkward thing where Neil's like, so tell me about her. He's got this look on his face like he's just, I don't know. What is your take, Haley, on this?
It doesn't instill a lot of confidence in me that my future husband is like picking a ring, and he's not really sure who he's giving it to yet.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I guess they must both like the same style of ring, or he picked the ring because it was easier to pick for Lauren, maybe. Just like, oh, this one I can tell Lauren will like this. Let's just go with her.
I feel like JoJo would be pretty demanding in the ring department.
Oh, could be.
She seems a little more high maintenance than Lauren does.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Especially since he went through rough times with her and had to reassure her a lot. And with Lauren, it was just easy breezy. The other thing I saw come up on Twitter, I think it might have been Eliza retweeting someone about this, but if has those two strong feelings. So you were talking about seeing tweets like maybe he should marry both of them, or they should marry each other. But also I saw ones about, okay, if you feel this strongly about two women, you love two, maybe you shouldn't marry either right now. What do you think about that?
I think that is definitely the most realistic thing he could have done in the thing I suggested, instead of marrying both or having the other two marry each other. I feel like this one does make the most sense. But like I said before, it's hard to know what kind of love he had for JoJo, because it clearly differed than the love that he had for Lauren. Right.
Right. And if it was, I mean, a lot of people say they want to marry their best friend, and he was talking about JoJo being the best friend. So I think when I was hearing that, I was interpreting that like, oh, so I guess it could be JoJo, but maybe it was more just a friend love, because you can have full love for a friend as well. It's just a different kind.
Yeah.
And it could be.
And it was probably like real lusty love too.
Yeah.
She was just a effing babe. Like, how could you not?
Right, right.
Like, I tweeted something last night, like, it's a like, how does JoJo keep her boobs up that high without wearing bras? And Angela tweeted me back being like, because she's like a goddess. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's a fair reasoning right there. That's
flawless. Yeah. Yeah, and then when he did decide, you know, he kind of phrased it as something like he was confused about that. You know, because he cared that much or was distracted by JoJo or, you know, was feeling that lust or that friend love or that mix, it just made it a little more unclear because it's not really normal that someone would be dating that many people. It's not a normal situation or be that serious with two people for that long. And so he's in this situation he wouldn't have normally been in. And it just, he kind of had to be at peace with letting JoJo go to be able to be like, okay, yes, Lauren is who I wanted. Whereas if he just met Lauren in the real world and he, you know, he might just,
or he just met JoJo in the real world.
Exactly. Even. He could just be with one of them and be happy. But this is, he got, you know,
as he told us,
embarrassment of riches here. He got a great cast, as we kept saying.
I feel so terrible for him that two women are just so deeply in love with him. And he's so deeply in love with these two women who are strikingly gorgeous as well.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then let's see. After this, I guess it's just the, you know, he picks out the ring. Now we know he's picked out one. When at this point, when you saw the ring, did it give you any clue who it might be? Or are you just like back on the Lauren train?
The ring never gives it away for me. I was kind of bored by them, to be honest with you. I always find them a little too big for my taste.
Yeah.
I'm weird with rings anyway. I have kind of like gross knuckles and rings make me nervous. And like a ring size, I'm pretty sure I would like take my own eye out.
Right.
Or like get it caught in my nose all the time. It was just like,
yeah, I thought it was a little like ostentatious.
Just from like flailing my hands, folks, not from like anything gross.
Picking like, your nose.
I'm a hand flailer.
Right. Yeah, I'm never like thrilled about the ring segment. It's just, but it's always there. It's a bachelor tradition. And Elaine gets his free vacation. So in this case,
and he got a free vacation at LA too this time.
Right. And in this case, he was like magical because he helped Ben decide who he wanted to marry. So Lauren B should really be thinking Neil Lane, really, I think. So then we get the scene of, you know, Ben getting ready to propose, and it's a helicopter. That's pretty dramatic. A helicopter date to be rejected or be proposed to. Now we've got
also it's kind of brutal that like JoJo got there in a helicopter but then got taken away in a car, right?
Yeah
I'd be like, F you, I'm taking your helicopter, like you and Lauren can call a cab, get an Uber, I don't care.
Yeah, get me back in my helicopter. What did you think of JoJo's look?
Okay, a lot of people were hard on these looks, and I loved both those dresses. I think JoJo's could have fit her a little bit better, mm-hmm. especially in the chest area.
Right.
But I really liked both the dresses, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think I liked JoJo's more.
I didn't like JoJo's hair, though.
Okay.
She has great hair, and it didn't do her justice. I think the, like, the Jamaican humidity just got to it.
Right. Right. And do you think there was a point where JoJo should have known that it wasn't going to go her way? Because she really went on and on.
There are so many points. Okay. So I tweeted this, but I'll mention it again here. Courtney Robertson wrote in her book, if you're on The Bachelor and you're in the final two, you know you're not the one. If your proposal is going to be like an hour, like it's going to be before sunset. Like they want that sunset proposal because that's the best lighting and it's romantic and glowy. We saw it last season in Chris, you know, with Chris Soules, like the nice glowy light. Mm-hmm. So JoJo, you're like mid-afternoon girlfriend, it's not you. When you walk up to him and he's like stone face and like he's breaking up with you.
Mm-hmm.
If you start talking and he's just like looking not away. Responding the way you would think someone would when you're like confessing your undying love to them,
mm-hmm.
maybe you're not the one.
Yeah, maybe we should not not keep saying like, oh, I have no doubts and this is so great. I can't wait to be with you. And yeah, you're going to be.
You told me you wouldn't blindside me. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a little rough. And then as far as her reaction, how would you describe that? Was that what you would expect? She wasn't really.
That's what I would expect from JoJo. Like, JoJo's just a very put together lady. She's not going to let anyone get the better of her emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted her to pull a Lindsay Genter and take her shoes off and be like, you're not worth me wearing high heels. F you. but I thought she came off extremely well.
Right. I thought it was for,
like how deep the situation was.
Right. Right. And then in the car, she's talking about how I want to be able to hate him or be angry. And I just can't because she cares about him. I think that's still like, the shock coming through. But then we see her in the after the final rose and she still is just so cool about it all. So I don't know. I appreciated Kayla's reaction more where it just like sort of had more questions or kind of gathered her thoughts. But everyone's different. And I think she, you know, she was blindsided, but still kept her composure. And I would have liked, just because I was mad at him, that he blindsided her and told her he loved her and then did that to her. So I would have liked to have seen more, I don't know. Yeah, like what you said, some kind of anger towards him or just like, that's not cool. You know, something to sort of, because it seems like he's getting away scot-free on this behavior.
Like
really.
One F-bomb, just one.
Yeah, something. Like, come on. So then we have our dramatic phone scene in between here. Well, we have Ben just kind of talking to the camera, some of the stuff that they were previewing the whole time about just, I was confused about that. And I just, that's how much I love her and that kind of thing. And then just, we saw him getting really excited. I retweeted someone who was like, did you ever love somebody so much that you sucker punched a ghost? Cause he like danced around, like punched the air. That was kind of funny. So,
yeah, that was a little lame, but like, I don't know. Sometimes those moments, it's like, okay, he's a real human being. Like, you know, just sometimes Ben was a little politician. And I just like,
yeah.
I personally like these moments of just kind of real life.
Right. Yeah. I think he was relieved that he got that out of the way, but it just, I don't know.
He fist pumped after he called Lauren's dad.
Right. It wasn't like, okay, after JoJo got dumped. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. The phone call was to Lauren's dad to ask if he could have her hand in marriage.
Yeah.
Did you like this move?
Well, it annoyed me because, of course, in the previews, they make it seem like he's calling someone to come back on the show that he dumped. And, you know, and it's just him calling the dad. I guess it's better than asking them on the hometown dates, because then it's like, okay, you're asking everyone. And so why would the dad even give the blessing? Because it's like, well, how do I know? Although her dad seemed very excited. Like, obviously he's getting a call. He knows what it's about. It's kind of reminded me of when people call on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Like when they would call the phone a friend, it was just like he was sitting by the phone waiting for it kind of thing. Like, oh, hello, Ben. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I think it's sort of become a bachelor or bachelorette tradition that I remember. I think I've said this before, but when I used to watch the show with my mom way back when, and like, she was just like, I think that's so weird that people, I think she has the same feeling about like my dad that we have about dads in general, just like, who would want to talk to them about any of these kind of emotions? Like, and she was just like your dad didn't do that with my dad. Like, I didn't know that was a thing. Cause it seems like a very old fashioned thing, but I don't know.
Right. But The Bachelor is also very old fashioned.
It's true. And then once they establish something, it's like, then every bachelor has to do that or they'll look like, can't believe they didn't do that. But yeah, it was a really big deal on Trista's season when, you know, the two guys met the parents and Ryan asked for the permission of the dad. And then so then Trista's dad told her that, and then that she was just swooning over that, like, oh my gosh, he asked permission. So she knew that he was into it. That's a good sign. But, and then I think from then on, it just sort of established that as like the move to do. So maybe that's, instead of the full Mesnick, that's the full Ryan Sutter, I think. It's just ask permission. What about you? Do you like that move?
Yes, I think so. Like, I think it's cute. Again, picturing my boyfriend asking my father that is just like, just cringeworthy to me.
Yeah. It's kind of weird, like, having other people know something's happening before you know it, too, right? Like, I feel like...
Yeah, like, the one day, I was going to the grocery store because I just wanted to get some, like, snacks or something. And I go through the checkout, and my cashier is telling someone else, like, oh, like, my daughter's boyfriend, like, came over last night and asked us to... for, you know, our permission to, like, ask her to marry him. And I was like... What? I know she's getting engaged and this bitch doesn't. Like, what the shit is that?
Yeah, like, so she's telling people at the grocery store before he's even proposed. It's kind of, it's risky. Yeah. Risky.
Yeah. Risky biz.
For sure. Yeah. That seems weird. I think you'd want to be in on it first. Like, be the first to be surprised. And then what if you said no, and then your dad's like, gave blessing. I don't know. Be like, oh, awkward. I don't know. Anyway, I actually would be interested.
So Ben does. Oh, sorry.
I'd be interested in our listeners commenting on what they think of this move, because I'm a little torn on this. You know, like, is it
we're
something?
We're all out of faith.
Yeah.
This is just how we feel.
Lying naked on the floor.
Cold and ashamed. Yeah. And broken. Illusions never change into something real. Wide awake and I can see the perfect sky is torn. Anyways, Ben gets down on one knee, proposes to Lauren. Boom, she wins. I loved her reaction. She was like,
laughing.
Oh, okay, cool. Like, she was really excited. She was giggling. She was happy.
It's like the giggles of relief because he had put the doubt in her.
Yes, exactly.
she was emotional.
So sketchy. I personally felt a little robbed, though.
Why?
Because I liked JoJo so much that I was, like, still recovering from her being so upset.
Yes.
But it was hard for me to, like, fully release myself into the Lauren and Ben love affair.
I know. You know, I think that did rob us. Yeah, I think we really, as compared to other seasons where you're just like, oh, this makes sense. This is the one, it became too quick of a turnaround, like, where you're still reeling from JoJo and then, you know, Lauren, you want to be excited for them, but it has that, I don't know, that extra layer there where you're just like, oh, but that's kind of icky.
Yeah.
Usually,
and I'm sorry, I'm ashamed to admit this, but I usually kind of tear up a little bit at all of these proposals. Like,
right.
You know, it's just, but this one, I was just kind of like reeling still from JoJo's love story being crushed into a fine pulp.
Right.
And so it's hard for me to fully just like enjoy Lauren and Ben.
Right. I think I had to come around to that in the after the final rose, because that sort of resolved some things with JoJo, as we'll talk about. And so that made that a little happier. So, yeah, I think in this one, they're almost like too perfect, you know, like they were the Ken and Barbie kind of thing, doing their like, you're my person thing and stuff. I saw somebody tweet like, do you think Ben knows that that's from Grey's Anatomy, that line? Or does he think Lauren made it up? the being someone's person, because she kept saying that. And Carly brought it up. Carly would say it on Bachelor in Paradise as well. So I don't know if Ben like thought that was like a really unique line or whatever, but it's kind of their thing anyway. I think the giggles, yeah, she was just relieved. And that was pretty cute. And she had that like dark blue dress. So you were a fan of that one as well? Because we did see.
I'm just such a fan of that color in general. I love that cobalt. I like the dress. I did. Sorry, everyone.
I think maybe the neckline, maybe it was a little dated or something, but I thought she looked pretty. It was maybe a little prom-ish, but that's what they wear, right? It's sort of prom-like. Yeah.
So then we go right into the after the final rose. And so what Chris Harrison is pimping throughout the entire like finale was last week, Ben said, like, he'd be willing to marry the woman he picked right now on the stage. So we brought his family, both of their families, and Ben's childhood pastor. And, like, the pastor just has, like, different shots throughout the soundstage, like, holding a Bible.
Right?
Like, yeah. We all knew this wasn't going to happen. It's just, like, a waste of time for me. So I don't even want to talk about
Chris
it, except
Harrison's,
Ben's like, no, like, that's okay.
Chris Harrison's brilliant idea, because he really, his eyes lit up when Ben said that last week. I was just like, what? I'm going to hold you to that? Or really? You'd marry her tomorrow? And because, yeah, he was pimping this so hard, and it was just ridiculous. It's like one of those last minute stunts they want to throw in and just give that pastor a free trip out to LA, but and to just stand there like a mannequin.
Yeah, like we knew this wasn't going to happen. So why, like, we're that's it. We're not talking about it anymore.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, so after the final rose, JoJo comes out. They kind of have a conversation, but, you know, it doesn't feel like super, like, deep to me, because it's kind of like they both know that, like, Ben is so happy with Lauren and JoJo's mm-hmm. happy because she's the bachelorette, that it's like, oh, whatever.
Right. Chris Harrison was trying to put words in Ben's mouth, being like, oh, you must still love her in a way. And Ben's like,
oh, my no. God, he was pushing that just as hard as the wedding thing.
Right. Exactly. Like, so, right. You love them both now. Right. And Ben was very good about just being like, you know, that's in the past. Like, I'm committed to one person now. So it's just very distant to me. Like, I care about her as a person. So that was good. That was healthy. He wasn't getting baited into, you know, Chris trying to put words in his mouth, which is good. JoJo looked great, although you did have comment about this fashion, her window cleavage.
I don't love the cleavage window.
Yeah. I think there's other necklines that are more flattering.
Yeah, it's just a little dated for me. I don't know. I'm just not into it.
But she redeemed her hair from...
Oh my God, her hair looked amazing.
Yeah.
She looked like really the rest good. Of like the dress was like good on her, but it's just like, I don't love that aspect of the dress.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me. So I'm sure everyone loved it and like hated the proposal dresses, but
yeah. So the big story though, after their talk was, well, cause Chris had said, we're going to announce the bachelorette, and we had been hearing it's Kayla. And then Chris had said something like, oh, it might not be who you think it is. And when he said that, I'm just like, oh, it's just another bachelor thing that they say, because for the people who don't read spoilers or aren't on the internet and haven't seen that Kayla's been announced on, because I think Us Weekly announced it, and mm-hmm. there was shots of her in her hometown. So I just thought, oh, you know, maybe people are thinking it's JoJo that are just watching the show, and that's what that comment was about. But then, you know, they get done with JoJo asking Ben a few questions, and then Chris is like, and we have our own new bachelorette, it's JoJo. And I mean, my jaw dropped. I was not expecting that at all. This was the dramatic part of the whole episode for me. What about you?
I wasn't super surprised, because okay. I've been hearing rumblings like, oh, they're pulling back on Kayla.
Okay.
And then when I heard him say like, oh, it's not who you think, I was kind of like, okay, he could be tricking me, but he could also be telling the truth. And then when it was JoJo, I was like, okay, I'm fine with this.
Right. Yeah.
But the rumors were true. Kayla was lined up to be the bachelorette. And then
promos with
her. I don't know if they were filming both Kayla and JoJo's packages, or just Kayla's, and then they like last minute pulled the rug out from under her. Mm-hmm. Not that this is the first time, because they filmed Ari's packages too, right before they announced Chris as the bachelor.
Yeah, I saw Ari tweeted about that to Sean Lowe. He said something about that, like, oh, it's happened before kind of thing. So
it sounds like, according to all my sources, which is everyone who sent me articles about the subject matter, mm-hmm. that Kayla heard last Thursday that they were going with JoJo as the bachelorette.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's going to be a rough week, especially since she looks so busted on the WTA, and it was probably like, I need to look like this so that when I come back as the bachelorette,
yeah,
I look
amazing.
We were
talking about that last week, that they're just trying to, because then she'll
come
out.
Sorry, girl.
Wow. Yeah.
Because, and like, let's make it known again that we do not hate Kayla. Like Kayla.
Right.
As like a human. But we just did not find her to be someone who could be a compelling lead of this show.
Yeah, she was very wishy-washy towards the end. Yeah.
Pardon?
Well, Kayla just became very hard to read and wishy-washy towards the end. She was either really bubbly or very serious, and I just couldn't see where that would go. But the other thing is, we had articles where Bachelor producers were saying the Bachelorette this season is going to be diverse. So what about that now? Like, is that just them trying to, like, say, oh, we'd like it to be diverse?
Someone tweeted Ally Lasher, something like that. Someone tweeted her, like, she was just replying to something that someone else had tweeted Ally. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, why is half Persian less diverse than half Filipino? Which is like a good point, really.
That's true.
I mean, it still feels like a bit of a cop out in the diversity front.
Because it's like Juan Pablo. It's just not a visible diverse.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited. That's JoJo. I think it'll be great television. We know her mom and her brothers make for a dramatic family visit. And I don't know. I just think it'll lead to a good cast. And I'm excited about it. We'll be covering it.
Yeah. And JoJo tweeted a picture out after she was announced of her and her mother and her father. Her and her father were like drinking a glass of wine. Her mother was drinking out of a bottle of champagne.
Okay. So she knows.
Amazing.
Yeah.
She's in on the joke.
Yep. Exactly. Nice. So we have that announcement. Then we have Lauren brought out. And this got a little drawn out for me at the end here. How about you? They were really cute at first.
Isn't that the Bachelor style? Like, everything is drawn out.
Yeah.
They're cute. They're happy. I like them together. She's moving to Denver. Mm-hmm. She looked great. Her and JoJo are still friends. They're definitely going to watch that season. The only compelling part about this was Jimmy Kimmel interrupting and being hilarious, per usual.
Mm-hmm. Well, you forgot about when Chris sprung the pastor on Ben and that awkward exchange.
No. What did I tell you, Amy? Not talking about it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and then they brought the whole families out. And what did you think of the families being like, oh, the Higgins Bushnells, this empire is going to like rule the world? It was just sort of strange. Like, we're so excited about this merger here happening. It seemed very corporate or.
Yeah, like she didn't even know her family was there.
Yeah. And then they're all standing there like, we're so excited. Like, we're just the best two families that ever merged together. I don't know. It just seemed very, I don't know, country clubby or something.
Oh my God. It was so country clubby.
And then anything else? Or should we jump to our lovely questions that we got so many of?
Let's jump to questions. I think we've said it all.
Okay. As I'm gathering these questions, do you have one more iTunes review to share? And then I guess we have to decide how we're going to, maybe sometime next week we'll tweet out a winner. We'll
see about next week, because I wasn't actually keeping a list of any of these, so I'm going to have to go back. Yeah. You have a list?
I have a list, but I have to kind of go back and refine it to make sure. Okay. I'm going to double check my list, so okay. We don't have it ready.
Because I was like, ooh, I'm going to have to go back and listen. Yeah. Someone said to me that I should Periscope it, and I really like that idea.
I think I said that.
If you send me the list, and I can put it in a hat or something and draw it out.
A Blue Jays hat to throw?
I do.
Okay.
I do have a couple of them.
And do we have can Jeff Strong supervise so that we can see that it's not, you're not going to purposely.
Oh my God, purposely. He would hate that more than anything. So yes.
Yes. So we have a neutral party so that we know that you're not just putting in the Canadian listeners in there. And we have all the, you know, it's on Periscope so people can see that it's legit. I like that idea. Yeah. You have a Periscope account now?
I do. I have never like used it.
Okay, so this would be good.
I'm not even sure what my username is. I think it's some variation of H Strong or Haley Strong or H Strong 28 or something like that.
Okay, so we'll make sure like we'll let people know on
Twitter when we're doing it
because we have to fact check that we've got all our reviews. But do you have one to share for today?
I do. Okay, so this one is from John Terry CFC. The title is "The Type of Bachelor Fans You Can Befriend." He says, I discovered this podcast during the Crystal season. I enjoy listening to Emily and Haley talk about the Bachelor universe of shows. I think he means Amy, but he got a little like Freudian slippy with those twins.
I think he likes those twins. But hey, I never really put that together that Emily and Amy are kind of similar. That would have been awesome if she was, if the twins were Amy and Haley. That would have been great marketing for us.
Then we would have known that they're like listening to us.
Okay. Or he thinks that we are the twins and this is going to really disappoint him that we're not the twins podcasting. Oh, well.
He goes on to say they bring both humor and insight as well as many perspectives I don't think of myself. I always look forward to listening to a new episode as well as the fantasy draft that takes place at the beginning of the season. I also like that they interact with their listeners on Twitter. Nice. And we read their reviews on the podcast. So thank you, John.
Thank you. Yeah, and you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at RHAP Recapper. Haley, how about you?
At HStrong underscore.
And that's what we'll be announcing when Haley will be periscoping the winner. And I suggest following us even for that time if you were somebody that we read your review, because I think in order for me to send it, you'll have to be following me for me to get your address and stuff. So sounds good there. All right, questions. This is from our draft expert and scorekeeper, George Crummer. And I don't think he has updated it yet. So follow him at GeorgeCTV on Twitter. But we lost terribly. We didn't even get our Kayla bachelorette points now. So it's embarrassing, but he'll have the updated results there. And I think Randy overall got the most points, if you were looking at individual scores. But his question from George, and thank you so much, George, for doing all this for us this season. He says, did Ben survive the finale in Double I Love You because, one, he was a likable bachelor who could do no wrong all season, two, he honestly was so in love with JoJo, or three, the show made JoJo the next bachelorette? So was it JoJo being the bachelorette, Haley, that really saved this all for him, or was there some other factor, just Ben so likable, or it was really just true that he was in love with her? Or is it all three? What do you think?
I think it's such a cop out, but I think it's all three in like some respect. Like you could tell he was in pain, like he was distressed because he was in love with both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the production has such a boner for Ben. Like if Juan Pablo would have done this, we would have raked him over the coals like there is no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
JoJo being the bachelorette is kind of like it's her turn to find love, so
right.
You know, it all works together hand in hand.
I think it definitely helped like JoJo get over it.
JoJo to be.
Yeah, I think Ben was likable and he was able to get out of these situations with his politician manner and, you know, sweet little smile. He did really care about JoJo. It might have been a different type of love, they really save face by making her the next bachelorette. Like that, that's an easy way for any woman to get over like the heartbreak, I think, is like, oh, well, now I get to star in my own show and have 25 guys fighting for me and I won't have to have that jealousy. So good assessment there, George, of all those different factors. Brian Cohen, co-host with Ali Lasher of the Challenge and Are You the One podcast on Wrap Up Network, says, so ABC completely crowdsourced Kayla as the bachelorette, got bad feedback, and called an audible, right?
Yeah, I think that's definitely what happened. Their production on The Bachelor seems very susceptible to taking fan consideration into I don't even know what the word I'm thinking of is.
Into account or into...
Yeah.
Yeah, because to the point of where they had Britt and Caitlin as the two, because it seemed like the show wanted to do Britt and the audience wanted Caitlin. But everyone wanted
Caitlin, and people wanted Chris Soules, and people wanted Desiree, and people wanted Sean Lowe, and people wanted...
Why did people want Chris Soules over Ari? I don't understand.
Because they liked him. They thought he was like a sweet good old farmer. Southern boy.
Yeah. It wasn't going to be on every TV show. Yeah, I think if you were to look at the early part of the season too, Kayla was a fan favorite from the beginning. JoJo, we didn't know as much about her. And then it's really these last few episodes where we saw, especially in seeing how JoJo got her heart broken and was told, I love you. I think it makes a more compelling story for the Bachelorette to start out on as well. So I think it was this last minute change. So unfortunately for Kayla. Angela Marie wants to know, would you both marry me on a soundstage? I don't think Mike Bloom will mind at all. But seriously, how forced was this marry each other right now nonsense?
Angela, you know very well that I would marry you in a damn second.
I ship
you
it.
You know that.
Yes, we
it was
both.
So forced and it was so stupid and it was awful and it was a waste of my time and it was stupid.
Where does it rank compared to the live ultrasound?
Oh my god, that was also stupid, but at least we got ultrasound in some respect.
At least we what?
Got the ultrasound.
That's true. Like that they were actually pregnant and so, but to act like they were just finding out what the sex of their baby was total nonsense as well. Andy Pfeiffer says, I remember Haley predicting the correct winner after about 4 episodes or so. Is the edit in The Bachelor really that obvious? Do similar rules apply to Bachelor edits versus those on Survivor?
I think I'm good at reading people, to be honest with you. That's kind of why I called Lauren from the beginning, just the way that Ben and Lauren were looking at each other. And I think I said that many times throughout the podcast run. Not to toot my own horn or anything.
You didn't call it from the beginning from her bio like Randy did, though, so.
No, but I called Whitney.
That's
and
true.
I called Josh.
It's
so
true.
Don't forget that I have been good at this in the past.
Right. And I called Sean for Caitlin's season. So we all have our moments. You know, Randy's time to shine right now, I guess.
Yes.
Hopefully his luck continues because I think he's applying for Big Brother. That's what he tweeted anyway.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Better name drop us on the live feeds or I will be pissed.
So how would it compare it to Survivor? To the similar rules of Bachelor
Edits? Right, okay.
Yeah.
Is there like still winner edit? Yeah, I think so.
I think it's,
but I think it has to. I think it's obvious in Bachelor
obvious
they have
Bachelor.
The winner's edit because you can legitimately like see the feelings,
right? Like we could
like,
see with Andy and Josh
edit out.
And Caitlin yeah. and Sean. Yeah, you can't edit out when like their eyes light up when they see the person for the first time, or when they just really click in a conversation. So,
or when they make out against a wall.
Right. But it's similar in the sense of Survivor 2, where there's just those characters that you don't see. They're totally invisible. And you know right away, okay, they're not making it to the end. They might go.
Or know, like some people are some people are cast. No, like no, the producers knowing that there's no chance they win.
Right. They're just too out there. You can tell they're just a wacky character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good question. Joseph Heilshorn wants to know, it appears the producers have been forced to change their Bachelorette plans for the second straight season due to negative feedback from fans. Do you think this means we are now heading into an era where fans will control who is picked as the Bachelor or Bachelorette? And could you envision the producers allowing a fan vote during the season to pick the next lead, or even a second chance type vote to pick people for Bachelor/BIP?
I kind of like the second chance vote for BIP. I don't like it for Bachelor. Like, it just kind of seems a little off. I could see them doing that. Like, what has really changed it, and it's really changed, like, everything is social media. Like, people can get their opinions out there. You know, mm-hmm. back when Trisha Sutter was on, you know, there was nothing, there's nobody on Twitter being like, oh,
people were actually
like, this
like
person,
writing,
this person.
Like, I think they were writing hand letters to ABC at that point. Like, that's how long ago it was, because I feel like Bob Guinea was really the only one where they're like, oh, the fans, like the women, we heard from so many women that they love Bob, but they weren't, it wasn't social media, it was like old-fashioned writing letters or something to producers or postcards or something. So yeah, I think now they can really get that read. They can see what's getting likes or what's getting who's being tweeted about and things like that.
What are people saying? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's like immediate feedback.
Yep. And I agree. They can't really do a fan vote. It's too risky for a lead. There's just too much into consideration because there has to be someone that can carry their own show and that they can cast for. But for BIP, I think I don't see them doing a whole second chance cast type vote, but maybe for some of them, like kind of like All Stars and Big Brother, where some of them get chosen that way. I mm-hmm. could see that happening. That would be kind of exciting. Any chance that we can have to, I don't know, influence. You know, we could throw our support behind someone and see if we get our RHAP, our wrap up, Rob as a Planet vote behind it or something. That'd be cool. Nicole Driscoll wants to know, Jimmy Kimmel did a bit crashing Chris Harrison's soundbite recordings by giving him better options than the overplayed most dramatic season ever tagline. Some good examples were cutest season ever and fourth most dramatic season ever. I'm curious how you would promote Ben's Bachelor season by filling in the blank. Blank season ever. P.S. I will miss you girls in the off season. Oh, that's nice, Nicole.
We will miss you too.
We will. We're having our little spring break to recoup for, you know, but that doesn't mean that we might not pop in here or there if there's a good off season podcast or thing to chime in about. But yeah, I caught just the very tail end of this Jimmy Kimmel bit, so I might go back and watch it. So how would you describe Ben's Bachelor season? What's the superlative there?
Most politician-y.
Most politician-y season ever. Most high school-y season ever. Waspy. Country club-y.
Most bad hair. Most unnecessary use of hoodies.
Oh, right. I mean, we did say several times it was the most, like, the cast, the women got along really well, or we liked the cast of women in that sense.
But, you did.
Yeah, a lot of options there. So hopefully Nicole likes some of those that we came up with. Ben Brown says, so the clear question coming out of last night is, what's worse, getting told I love you by The Bachelor and getting dumped, or getting told by the producers that you are The Bachelorette, only for them to pull a Steve Harvey? Tricky.
Yeah, I think being told you're the Bachelor and then getting that pulled out from under you, because not only did you tell someone you love them on national television and you didn't get it back, but the other two girls did, you got broken up with, then you think you're going to have your own chance to find love. And then that doesn't happen either.
That's so true.
And not only that, there's a lot of people on the internet saying they don't like Kayla, and that's why you didn't get to be the Bachelorette. So,
oh, man.
Ooh, poor girl.
Yeah, that's rough. I mean, it wasn't aired on TV like Steve Harvey. And so technically, if people are just watching the TV show, they don't really know that Kayla was in the mix. But she was in the mix. She was getting things filmed, and then it was taken away from her. And yeah, that has to suck, because JoJo gets the redemption. She gets a second chance and she gets to be the lead. And
also, she's JoJo.
She's just winning at life. Yeah, that's rough. But I think in the moment, the getting I told I love you and getting dumped, that would be harder. But long game, it's the Kayla thing is worse. Brian Altschul wants to know, while no one has ever said I love you to the final two, has anyone ever pretty much been in love with their final two before?
Not that I can think of. I think in the last seasons I've seen, there's always been kind of a clear divide. I think maybe your closest is like Caitlin with Sean and Nick.
Yeah, I think there's always that front runner. But I think she was
more in lust with Nick than like.
Yeah, I feel like Nick was sort of like something she wanted to make sure of, because they had their flirtation before, and so they had a strong connection. But you know, with Sean, it was just sort of undeniable. And I mean, I think Sean Lowe tries to play the Bachelor game where it's just like, oh, I knew, like, you know, I really cared about this person. But then once they settle down and they have their, you know, then they say, no, it was always this person, you know. So they play the game on the show because they're on the show. But yeah, I can't really think of that either. Will Holston. How many of the men on night one of The Bachelorette will make some sort of joke involving their penis as the horn of a unicorn? Ballpark it. Ooh.
I'm hoping zero. I'm assuming at least one.
Right. Yeah. They're going to have something with the unicorn. That was really like the weirdest thing that JoJo did. I mean, at that point, like, she didn't seem like the type that would do that. But yeah, what are the any other weird things that they could do for JoJo? Like specific to JoJo?
They could bring like a sludgehammer and like break it and say like, let's refix this together and sell it for more money.
Right.
Or come and drink a bottle of whiskey right in front of her and be like, I'd fit in with your family.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Exactly. Lottie Blatchford says, how good do you think Bachelorette will be considering JoJo's family is a little unconventional, i.e. JoJo's mom drinking right out of the bottle, just as you mentioned, at the hometown, which is one of the best moments this season, the overprotective brothers, etc. I am looking forward to the Bachelorette now that JoJo's the Bachelorette and not Kayla. Would you compare JoJo's upcoming tenure to Desiree's season, as she also had a very overprotective brother? Love, love, love your podcast. Thanks, Lottie. So where does it compare?
I would say Kayla would have fallen more into the Desiree stream of things. I see how, like, you know, it could be compared because Desiree had a crazy brother, JoJo had a crazy brother. But I think JoJo's just, like, more outgoing, more honest, and just a little more out there. It has more, a little more personality than Des did. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to her as The Bachelor, and I think she's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it'll be good. Again, we're not saying we don't like Kayla. It's just that it would have been just a milder season, I think. JoJo is going to be a little more electric, I think. Nick Gareffi wants to know, what are the odds JoJo's ex, Chad, shows up to be a contestant to try and win her back next season? And by what are the odds, I mean, do you think he'll show up night one or midway through, roses in hand? So is Chad going to be like a Chris Bukowski, crashing it or causing some drama at some point? Or is he just a forgotten storyline?
I didn't even think of that until this question, but I could totally see Chad come for at least like one episode and JoJo just being like, nah.
We do need to see. I mean, he was just a phone call before or a letter. So we need to see. He's just a letter, right? So we need to see who this Chad is. I think they, especially if there's like another situation where there's a like clear front runner at the beginning, and they need to manufacture drama somehow, right? Good call, Nick.
Okay, I found him.
What? How?
His name is Chad, because I just Googled JoJo and Chad.
Okay.
Okay, computer, come on. Like, let's. His name is Chad Rookstool.
Ooh.
He's very, like, preppy looking. Like.
Okay.
Like, he's wearing, in this photo, he's wearing a button-down shirt with a tie, but then, like, a sweater over top.
Oh, like, over the shoulder?
No, like on.
Okay. Great. Oh, I see this one too. Rookstool.
He's cute. But I can see him coming back or coming in for a season.
Right.
Or an episode.
Yeah, they look cuddly and cute. That could work. I see a picture of his letter. He says, for better or for worse, I will love you with all of my heart. Love, Chat XOXO. Yeah, hopefully let's see if that would be good.
Ooh, found him on Facebook.
Okay. Oh my gosh, are you gonna friend him?
No.
Rookstool stocking.
I'm not Jordan Parhar. Jordan Parhar totally wouldn't eat Jordan, don't lie to me. He owns a hair salon, I think.
Oh really?
Yeah, he definitely owns a hair salon.
Rookstool.
Okay.
Can't get over that last name.
Ladies, if you're living in Dallas, Texas, Chad Rookstool Salon.
Wow.
He will do your hair for you.
Go there and report back to us.
No wonder her hair looks so great.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that like an ideal boyfriend profession, or would it be like you don't want him touching all these other girls' hair?
Yeah, not an ideal profession for me.
Yeah. Not baseball player, that's for sure. Let's see. Brian Altshul says, would Ben have been better off not telling both that he loved them? Then at least he wouldn't have to break that promise to one of them. Yeah, I'd say that would have been better, but I'm sure Chris Harrison wouldn't agree. I think they liked that he did this. What do you think?
Oh, they love that he did this. Oh my God, they're so obsessed with it.
Especially since it's like Ben seems so perfect. He could never do anything like that. He would never even consider loving two people at the same time because he's just so pure. So I think it was just like, oh, okay, we have some sort of drama. But yeah, it would have been better off telling neither, because they're really not supposed to do that. That's supposed to like create more of that tension where the woman's saying I love you and doesn't get anything back, which has to be horrible. But he changed the game. Maureen Wessel Saunders wants to know, anyone recall a call to dad for permission on speakerphone before tonight? Awkward. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, no, it usually happens at the hometowns.
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to think if there was some time when like, oh, you know what? I think on Jason Mesnick's season, he didn't meet like his, her, Melissa Rycroft's family didn't want to be there on the hometown. She was just, that was like a dramatic moment. Yeah.
They're considering like, what happened.
Yeah. But they're just like, we're not really TV people and they're just more private. And so she was really worried that that would affect his decision. I feel like maybe he called one of them at one point just to, you know, or at least attempted, but I need, need one of our listeners to fact check that for me because it's going way back. Let's see. Dan Connolly. Should the twist next season be that JoJo's brothers will room with the guys? Oh, I would love that so much.
Would you? I would feel like it'd be like just, oh, so awkward. Like I want him. Well, maybe they'll come first night and we won't see it. Like when Andy's dad came first night, we didn't see it.
Yeah, maybe not the whole time, but just something to sort of, they'll have to.
Just stop by.
Host a date or something. Because who was it? Like, yeah, Chris's sisters planned that date. They picked somebody with Jade, I think it was. So maybe they would come in and like choose who she goes out with or something or run some. I could see them doing some kind of punked thing or lie detector thing, like where they're kind of behind the scenes and seeing how the guys react or something. So free ideas, because we know our Bachelor producers are listening to this because they steal everything from RHAB. Anyway, Dan Connolly also says, rank the last three successful couples, Caitlin and Sean, Jade and Tanner, Ben and Lauren. I added the word successful. We don't know.
I love all of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm really having a tough time. Like, I'd say, sorry, Jane, Tanner, love you guys, but you're third.
Okay. Just because they're not lead material?
Yeah, and, you know, I don't have a personal connection with them. Okay. Not that I have a personal connection with these other
people. But you love Tanner.
Anyway, Ben and Lauren just seem like such like a good fit together. Mm-hmm. They're so cute, and they're like such a pretty couple that I just like love them.
Mm-hmm.
Sean and Caitlin, like I love Caitlin.
Right.
And I think post-season you could really see the Caitlin and Sean dynamic and how well they work together, which is something we really didn't see in their season. Mm-hmm. So I really love that. So my answer is I don't have one.
Okay. From when you were saying that, though, I was kind of reading between the lines. Seemed like maybe Caitlin, Sean, number one, which is, I think, where I'd put them.
I would probably put them one, and then
like, Ben, Lauren, and then Jade, Tanner.
Like 1A.
Okay. Well, but Caitlin and Sean are more tested, so I think they deserve to be one. Because Ben and Lauren, who knows? Sure. It could be still headed towards divorce. You never know, but or breaking up engagement. Although they seem like it. They seem like it's going somewhere. They said they're getting married soon. So, and do you think they'll have a televised wedding? With that pastor?
Probably,
that,
right?
Yeah, probably. At Jam Lefevre, I feel like I always say Jamie, but I think it's actually an L, on Twitter. Do you think the Kayla Bachelorette rumors / cameras being in Hudson were a red herring to keep suspicion off JoJo? So that's the other theory, is that they're just trying to...
Paul Borges actually mentioned this to me too, and I kind of believe it, but I just feel like there's so many sources being like, no, like, seriously, like, listen to me, it was Kayla.
Mm-hmm. And I just don't think they care that much about spoilers, you know? I don't think they put that effort in to send a camera crew out there, you know?
So, yeah, I don't know.
I wish they would do more to, like, take the spoiler things down, you know? Like, to just be like,
Like, wait until after the finale.
Yeah, exactly.
To, like, film any of that shit, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then Alice Saccio on Twitter says, when Ben was choosing the ring, did you start guessing who it was a better style for? # the Bachelor finale, # final rose. I just think that's funny because it's like, yeah, as if he was really determining from that. But yeah, I'm just bad. Like, I don't get into rings and diamonds and all that kind of thing.
I'm not good at that either.
Yeah. So I wonder if people really did. I don't know if the guy really knows what her style would be anyway, you know. I think he just picks like...
Yeah, they've only been together for like 6 weeks.
Right? They used to, I feel like... I'm trying to remember. I feel like the... Way back when, maybe this was in the old boring seasons, I feel like the lead like Neelaine met maybe with the women to see what they liked and sort of.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. And then.
I think so.
Picks, but you'd think that would be good to know.
It's ringing a bell.
And then here is from at Big Survivors. It says, don't have Facebook, but I have a question. Hashtag RHAP. What happened to the diversity we were promised for next season? So you kind of touched on that, that JoJo's actually half Persian, right? Her mom is from. Her mom's Persian?
She must be of like Iranian descent or Middle Eastern descent of some sort.
Okay. So I guess, yeah, it's equivalent as in that sense. But yeah, it's just something that the Bachelor producers will always sort of mention. And then we'll see, you know, if they make that part of, it'd be cool if they, you know, sort of incorporate that more and have a diverse cast of men, I hope as well. They've been better at that lately, so that's good at least. I think that's our last question. I did want to, in case anyone missed SNL or doesn't normally watch SNL, we had a couple listeners tweet this to us, and you and I both watch it anyway, but before I'd even seen it, I was getting tweets saying, have you seen Cecily Strong do an impression of Lace? And so I'm thinking, are they doing another Bachelor sketch already? But she was actually a correspondent. They didn't say Lace, but it was obvious it was Lace.
And like people have been talking since the beginning of the season how much Lace looks like Cecily Strong.
Yeah, it was just a spot on impression. And so Lace watched it and loved it. So she's continues to have a great sense of humor about it. So go back and look for that clip. It's on my Twitter timeline as well. Any other Bachelor news or things you want to share? Anything that's going on in the off season for you, Haley?
Just resting and relaxing, hanging out.
Catching up on some TV.
So I just start actually last week, Allie mentioned how she was going to be on a podcast with Rob and Brent Wagamot about RuPaul's Drag Race. And I remember sitting down like my second year of university. It was on VH1 when we still got VH1 in Canada, and I watched an entire season, and then I haven't seen a single episode since. So I listened to that podcast and I was like, okay, I have to watch this show. And like, I'm emotionally in very deep now. And I started season 4 today because one of my friends told me to watch that one because it's very good. So I think RuPaul's Drag Race is going to be one of my off-season adventures. Nice. Also, a couple of Netflix shows I'm going to check out. Flaked, starring Will Arnett. And then there's another show called Characters
that
a bunch of people that I really like.
Yeah.
Pardon? You want to see that?
That's, that's on my list. I haven't seen Love yet, and I know you like that one on Netflix.
I really like that one.
Yeah, I've seen some mixed reviews, but I had other people recommend it to me as well, and I definitely, you know, we want to see anything about love and romance, so that's on my list for sure.
Yeah, it's just I'm a Judd Apatow fan, so I kind of like anything he does.
Mm-hmm.
I
need to catch up on some.
Maybe I'll watch
Big Brother Canada. It's a little harder for me to watch. In the States.
Yeah, I have been watching that. I've been keeping up. So like, I haven't gotten too in deep yet. Yeah. Last season, I kind of stopped watching halfway through. Sorry, Jordan.
Right. But follow along. Continue to subscribe to the wrap-ups on iTunes, because you'll get, if we do anything in the off-season, as well as all the other great content that's going on. And I just want to thank all our listeners for following along with us. And the iTunes reviews have been really great. Love reading the comments. So let us know what you think about what have we talked about in this episode. We want to know, do we agree? What are your opinions on asking for a parent's or dad's permission before proposing? Thoughts on the bachelorette choice? Do we have a hashtag, Haley?
Thoughts on the dresses they were wearing?
Right. That was kind of mixed reviews. Thoughts on Ben overall? Did he get off too scot-free for his treatment of JoJo? Let's see. Anything else? Hashtag?
Hashtag. Ugh.
I feel like I want to do something with Rook's stool because I'm just obsessed with that last one.
Just hashtag Chad Rook's stool.
Oh my God.
You spell Rook's stool RookStool.
All right, awesome. All right. Thanks, everyone. And we'll remind you of our Twitter again. I'm at RJP Recapper. Haley, you are?
I'm at hstrong. Oh, sorry. I'm at hstrong underscore. And I'm the same on Instagram. And Snapchat is hstrong28. So you can keep up with me on all of those various platforms.
Yes. And we'll find out sometime in the next, we'll just estimate in about a week or so. We'll draw for the iTunes review for this season, but you can continue to leave reviews and they'll be entered in for the Bachelorette season coming up. So thanks everyone, and we're excited to join you for the Bachelorette coverage with JoJo when that starts up. Bye.